And welcome to Affliction Sharecoded, a podcast where we sharecode some of the world's so-called afflictions and rate their plausibility on a scale of 1 to 5. I'm Minnie Kim, and today we'll be sugarcoating the trolley problem. Assuming we're all nerdy enough to listen to this podcast in the first place, and hence know what a trolley problem is, but for the people who don't know what it is, it's basically a moral dilemma in which a person is next to some train tracks or trolley tracks, whatever you call it, and you have a choice of letting a trolley that would certainly kill 5 people who are tied to the tracks, or you can pull some kind of lever and then let it surely kill 1 person who is also tied to the tracks, but the tracks is weirdly in the other side. You know, there's like a split thing going on, and hence it would only kill that 1 person who is unfortunately tied to the other side of the tracks. Not sure if this is the most important question of this podcast because, well, who really thinks what other people say is important, but I do think that it is better or more moral or more correct or less immoral, for the lack of better terms. I think I can see both sides of the story, but I do feel like just pulling the lever and making sure that only 1 person dies instead of 5 is a little bit better, you know, comparatively, because obviously killing people is not good. I've certainly argued for both sides of the trolley problem. When I first heard it, I thought, well, I should not mess with fate. But I used to pick the side of not pulling the lever and just letting it kill 5 people. But ultimately, and most pragmatically so, I am killing 4 less loved ones, 4 less citizens, 4 less parents and children. Bottom line is, 4 less human beings. I think that is a pretty good reason as to why you would interfere in this quote-unquote fate. And of course, this dilemma also includes the prospect of other issues such as fate and such as, oh, more people will thank me, and that is a really selfish way to think about it, but it is a way to think about it, to say that I will get more reward and I will get more recognition and understanding from society by telling them that I saved 4 people. I mean, actually 5. We're thinking of it in a numerical way, but in truth, I did save 5 people, and I quote-unquote killed another one. I heard about this trolley problem from my first ever actual debate teacher, and I'm not going to lie, when I first heard it, I was dubious. It really wasn't pragmatic, and he basically told me, pretend everything in the simulation was true and everything must be true. It certainly wasn't realistic, and I thought it was ridiculous even thinking about things that wouldn't happen in the first place. There are questions that must be asked. Why are these people tied down in the first place? Why am I even there? Why can't I think of other alternatives than blindly killing people? Are people in this trolley that is supposedly going to stomp and basically make other people's guts implode? Are there people who are criminals or have been convicted of something? Have they all sinned? And to what extent have they sinned? What societal value do they hold? What jobs do they have? Do they have children? And we ask these questions because it likely changes our answers. If that one guy was a doctor or a billionaire philanthropists who donated money to poor and sick children, and the other 5 guys were convicted criminals, I would most certainly choose to save that one rich guy. If the 5 people were pregnant with children, however, and if the other guy was a random guy on the street with a considerable family, the decision would be playing into the same metric I used with the original problem. I would be saving 10 lives instead of 1. Maybe there's a twin, and hence 11 lives. There is a problem with this idea of the dilemma, is what I'm saying. Because What this story tells us is that the trolley problem is never really a dilemma. It's just a problem that is quite frankly very unrealistic. And maybe there's a problem with us saying that we are quote-unquote saving people. We are just pulling the lever. We are not saving anyone from anything. We are maybe killing people. Maybe that should also be challenged. And maybe that is also attributable to the fact that this problem is once again unrealistic. Also, as a general side note, I searched it up, and the person who developed this trolley problem is called Philippa Foot. And apparently, according to the National Institutes of Health, which, by the way, I'm completely unsure as to why the NIH is interested in citing who developed the trolley problem, but here it is. It is written and summarized in this sentence. Quote unquote, "The so-called trolley problem was first discussed by Philippa Foot in 1967 as a way to test moral intuitions regarding the doctrine of double effect, Kantian principles, and utilitarianism." And as always, we all probably know the last word, utilitarianism. It is in a way more efficient, more effective, more pragmatic, and maybe that is the ideal that I chose to follow when I said that I would rather kill one person instead of five. But then, what is the point of history if we can't even figure out what we're doing right now? There's the brother of the trolley problem, in which instead of being in front of the lever, we are on top of a bridge. There's only one track this time. Next to you is an incredibly fat guy who is indeed fat enough to stop the trolley from hitting the five people that are tied to the tracks again. Do you push this fat guy and stop the train and hence prevent these people from dying? And also certainly killing the fat guy in the process, or do you not? And do you let the rest of the people, who by the way are also five people tied down to the tracks, die and save this fat guy? And again, there's a problem with semantics. We are not saving the fat guy. All we're doing is merely not killing him. By theory, everyone who agreed to the first problem to pull the lever should also agree to push this fat guy just in time. But people don't. And this can obviously be observed in Michael Sandel's Harvard video that we've all likely seen in our YouTube feed about justice. It's a lecture, and he discusses this amongst Harvard students. And the people who originally said that they would pull the lever often chooses not to push off this fat guy. Why? Because we touch his human flesh? Because we can feel his death more intimately than the last? I'm not sure. So this is all to say that in order to make moral observances on a general note, in order to intrigue someone with it, you need to cancel out the pragmatics. It's always about hitting that sweet spot, that equilibrium that isn't about economics. We can take examples on the news, and we can talk about it. We can make moral dilemmas like this, and then talk about it as well, like this podcast that we're doing now. But the bottom line, I think, is pretty simple, and I think it's self-evident as well. We make these decisions and we make these small talk based on the premise that we are never going to experience it. That is always on the assumption that we would be lucky enough that the world does not push us to this extent of moral quandary. I think that is enough to say enough. So, there is indeed some kind of problem with the trolley dilemma. We have the utilitarian way, or the quote-unquote, I don't want to change the fate of someone else way. But will people be held accountable? Is it even right to push this problem to the implications of real life, the media, the families, the regret that we might face? But the most crucial problem is that we have time in real life, and we don't really have time in this theoretical possibility. Psychologists study it. We study it. We think about these problems, and I talk about it for about 10 to 20 minutes in this podcast. But in that split second, we are likely petrified, unable to think. We are not Sherlock Holmes, who, by the way, in the BBC series, he literally takes about 2 seconds to run through all the logistics as to whether he should fall on his back or to his belly. And yes, it does indeed save him from a gunshot. I guess that is another alternative. Don't kill the 5 people, but don't do anything because you simply can't. Because you simply cannot think. It's not about the morals, I guess, when you think pragmatically. Oftentimes, you're not going to pull the lever not because you want to kill the 5 people, or you think it is morally right to kill the 5 people instead of 1, but oftentimes because you just don't have the mental or physical capability to think in that moment and weigh the benefits. I think that's the beauty of the trolley problem. We have 2 possible endings, but we have infinite thoughts, each different with each circumstance. So I guess then it is right for people to say that there isn't an actual answer. I know this one is a bit more philosophical than my other ones. We are all in the trolley problem, with an inability to know more, with a glass ceiling in at least 1 aspect of our lives. I don't want to name it a dilemma, because the trolley problem is much more, in my opinion. It is a perfume that diffuses into each and every corner of the room. I'm writing this podcast in the middle of an airport, waiting for my 10-hour flight to Sydney for a competition. I'm looking at the now dark sky, frankly, sparkled by Tinkerbell with the lights on the side of the airplanes in a complete frenzy of a plura of something I cannot fully explain. So I'm not in a dilemma, I guess. I am in the end in something very beautiful. We live in the trolley problem far away in the corner of our minds until it is evoked, called on by the sciences of our brain. And here's a quote that I've lived by since I watched a Liam Port video, a Cambridge graduate who's now technically a lawyer in the UK. Because I don't want to reveal my French to the several people who listen to this, it goes like this. We must cultivate our garden, by Voltaire in Candide. Now, this is to say that there is no best of all possible worlds, but let's be honest. There is, in the physics and ethics and astronomic world, we can maybe all merge to find the answer as to how we can possibly create the correct mark for this. But we can't. So for now, we will listen to the Enlightenment guy and turn to science when we can't find the answer. And if we can't find the answer, well, just make sure you don't kill anyone. I give the sugarcoating of the trolley problem a 4. This podcast was written and produced by me, Minnie Kim. If you have any reviews, please feel free to write any and all thoughts on your podcast reviews. If you would like to suggest an affliction for me to sugarcoat, please email me via afflictionsugarcoated@gmail.com. So, what are your thoughts on the trolley problem? If you want to hear this in more precise and academic language rather than my rambling during writing, which seems impossible, but this is just proof, you can hop on to a Michael Sandel video to Harvard students on justice. You've probably already seen it, as mentioned before, but it is still worth watching it to the full length. Okay. Have a good day, guys.